So we have to realize Satan is really after your mind more than anything else. He's after your mind more than he's after your body. He's after your soul, but your soul is basically housed in your mind, because your soul is your emotions. Your soul is your free will. Your soul is your personality. Your soul is who you are that makes you different than someone else. And yet your soul, in its pure form, without being perverted, reveals something about God to the world. That's why some people are very artsy. Some people can sing. Some people, you know, can do math and science. And so God is just placed in all of his kids, in their personalities, in their soul, something that glorifies him and the diversity of God. And so you got to realize that that soul of yours was created to function being led by the Spirit. It was never given to you for your self-esteem. It was never given to you for independence. And we got to really change our thinking. The truth is, the place of the rest, or that place in Christ, that place that'll be like heaven, is when it's all about God and him just flowing through your gifting, your personality, all these things. And it would all just glorify God. And that, when that was wiped away, people had to come up with ways to operate their minds and to make them, to be able to teach and to learn and to do things. And so Satan has come in, and he wants to be in charge of that mind. He wants to be in charge of that soul. If he can get into that soul, if he can get into your emotions, if he can get into your thinking, if he can get into your mind, he can open the door for spirits to come into your spirit. And that's what he does with habits. With habits, he begins to get into your mind and begin to make a way to get a spirit into your soul. I'll give an example. You have something traumatic happen to you, and you're just really scared. So whenever there's lightning, whatever Satan had done, maybe you heard from the time you were little about a great-grandmother who got killed by lightning. Anyway, so think about it. What the enemy does, he goes, okay, they were given minds that are supposed to just be one with God and just use all their gifts, talents, everything, just to glorify God. Just function. It's so cool. God's doing everything. He's just using your body. You're just being one with him. You were created to be one with God. So think about it. Satan has to get into your mind, and your mind was created for God. Your mind was created for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, for the Holy Spirit to direct your steps, for the Holy Spirit to express joy and have you one with him in expressing joy and just everything. Just think, God created you specifically to be used by him, specifically to know him. So Satan wants to get in there and pervert that. So first thing, he's going to have ways, and what he does is, I believe, he sets up things in your past or through family curses or whatever. He sets up things to get you into a pattern that will open you up for Satan to get, for spirits to get in. That's what we're talking about. So let's say, you could pick a million examples, but let's just say that you had heard of a grandmother who was struck by lightning or something like that, or you saw it. And that would bring a spirit of fear. And you could have a really irrational fear if there's lightning. Or it could make you fearful in all areas. But let's just, so now, if it's lightning, the enemy will whisper to you. See, if you were led by the Holy Spirit, he would get rid of that fear. You know, he would lead you into getting set free and trusting him. You learn scriptures about God's protection and all this. But without the Holy Spirit, the enemy, every time there's lightning and you get paranoid or rational, then the enemy might whisper something like, you know, alcohol will calm your nerves. Alcohol will calm your nerves. So then you hear that thought. Of course, you think it's you. Or maybe somebody even will speak that. So let's say you have that thought. Satan knows you're having that thought. He gave it to you. And he'll have somebody call you who's an alcoholic. And they'll tell, man, you're really scared when it lightnings. It doesn't make sense, but it really bothers you. And they might say to you, well, you know what? You just need to take a few chugs of whiskey or something. You'll sleep like a baby. Well, now you just had the thought given to you by Satan. Now he's using someone who he owns in that area to give confirmation on that thought. Now, you don't believe in devils or anything, so you're thinking this is you. You might even so much think, well, this must be the answer. Look how I got this. So next thing you know, you're actually chugging whiskey or whatever because of the fear. And it does make you pass out and you do sleep, which reaffirms that that's the right thing to do. Now, after this becomes a habit, the spirit of addiction is going to come in. In other words, you're going to open up to a spirit to come in to say, now I own them here and I can make them drink anytime I want. So now it's not just when there's an occasional lightning storm. Now you begin to crave alcohol for every little thing. And pretty soon, you don't even have to have a reason to drink. Okay, and that is pretty much the... You could have a different scenarios. Now, let's say you want to go to that same story. One reason you might choose alcohol, where somebody else might go into yoga, meditation or something, you could have a familiar spirit. You could have a family curse. And alcohol was a curse in your family. And if alcohol is a curse in your family, there has automatically been assigned to you a devil whose job is to make sure you drink also. So he's going to use those things that have happened to you to make you open that door. So does everybody understand pretty much? Then that makes sense, right? So basically, what we need to do and what we need to teach our children is to make sure our minds, that we have the mind of Christ, to put on the helmet of salvation. And that's why the Bible says, once you're born again, one of the instructions that the Lord gives you is to renew your mind in the Word of God. So today, hopefully when you got in groups and what we talked about last night, taking the sword of the Spirit, taking the word to that attack is one of the ways to stop the enemy from having that power in your thoughts. That's why the Bible says, cast down every imagination. He says every imagination that doesn't line up with the Word of God. You know, God is living inside of you, and he has truly given you his word and his power and his authority and his instruction in his word to tell you, if it doesn't line up with my word, cast it down. Don't think about it. And he means that. So let's say there's lightning outside and you had this scenario before you found Christ. Now you found Christ and you haven't gotten your healing deliverance yet from the lightning situation, but at least now you should begin to say, when that lightning starts, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And you can live a pretty sin-free, if you want to call it, Christian life, just truly hanging on to the word. And that's what the entire faith movement was about. But God wants you to get beyond that to where you go after these roots and you go after these seeds and you don't even have. You can hear lightning and not care. And God gave the church, I believe as he's restoring the church, a season of truly. And my heart really cries out to those who totally blew off the faith movement because some extremes in it or some areas where they didn't have revelation. You need to understand the power of the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to diligently study the Word of God. You need to truly have a sword available at any time. You need to know how to put on the armor. You need to truthfully get your mind lined up with God and his word. I guarantee you that's what has kept Laurie out of a wheelchair all these years. As she's trying to get free from all these things in her past and things the enemy has done to bring the MS on her, what has kept her is her doing is her believe in the word. I know when it looked so bad for my son, it was that believe in the word. declaring the word. Don and I were talking the other day. If you really don't know the word and you really don't 100% believe it and it's unchanging, people's circumstances and experiences have nothing to do with the truth and the power of the word, how do you fight the enemy? If you really don't know that you're supposed to be healed, how can you really fight when you know how mean the devil is? You can't, folks. Satan's going to beat the tar out of you if you don't have the sword of the Spirit. If you don't really believe what he says, and sometimes you're going to have to say it and say it and say it and say it. In Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest, which is an awesome book, and he's talking about in the end days where people are going up higher and higher in God to this place of power and authority and really being used for God's glory and purposes. But he said as you got higher and higher, there was so much supernatural and so much revelation from the Holy Spirit that many would put down their sword and they just kind of play around with it. And he said at that point, Satan would come in and just do a surprise attack and they would fall all the way from that great place that they were walking with God before, but because they quit using his word and believing his word and standing on his word and staying in the word, they fell quickly to the bottom of that hill, to the bottom of the mountain, to a place of captivity. I believe we're going to see that happen to many in the prophetic movement if they do, and the deliverance movement, if they do not make sure that believing that word is foundational to everything they teach, preach, and every revelation that they have. It's so simple for Satan to, you know, for you to really go after God, be hungry, and then start to experience the supernatural, but not go through the working of sanctification, studying the Word of God, and being changed to go along with that supernatural revelation. It's much more fun until you find out it shipwrecked you, to just not think you need to do the other stuff anymore. And oh, I hear God now, and oh, I just want, I'm going to tell you what. As soon as you think you hear God so clear that you don't need to read the Bible, you are deceived. The stronger you get in God and the more he sanctifies you and sets you apart, the desire of the Holy Spirit is still the same, to see you go deeper in God. So the Lord just has you go deeper in how you get answers. Where you used to just be able to read the word, pick up the sword, and declare it, now he may have you have to go do a word study. Now you might have to really go deep and find out what the Greek and the Hebrew is. Instead of it getting, oh, this is simple now. No, he'll take you deeper and deeper. He'll make you have to see things you never had to see before. He'll make you have to step out in faith like you've never believed and then watch him rescue you. So get rid of any thought that there'll come a place where you just hear God so clear, you just walk along and life is just a breeze. Because the Holy Spirit is always desiring to cause you to die more to self and go deeper and deeper into obedience to God, into understanding God, into knowing his ways, and into being led by him. But it gets so exciting because you've seen him before. It's like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. It's just like right now with the financial situation with the ministry. I know he can give me a big check. We don't have to do all this work for a thrift store. If you're just looking at God's ability and my faith to believe him. I know that I think it would be easier for him to just give me a big chunk of money than for him to be motivating me to get up and work that hard. I think it's more miraculous that he actually gets me up early and I do that all day. That I'm more amazed about that. Because I've always known, I mean, it's been a long time, but I know that he could send a check. Because he's shown me that. There was a day that would be hard to believe. But he's given me $10,000 like that when I needed it for my book. He's given us, I don't know how we got $35,000 within 2 weeks of when we got that building. You're looking at a ministry that didn't have $35,000 in a whole year just 2 years ago. I don't know how. When I signed the papers and said I'd have it, I didn't have a clue. There's a place where you just start really knowing you walk in faith. I don't know how you're going to do this. But as you grow and mature and your mind belongs to God, and he's in charge of it, he will start ordering your steps again. He will begin like it was before the fall. And then all you know is that you're in the presence of God and you're supposed to sign this paper. Then your flesh kind of goes crazy for a while. Then you come back and you use the sword. You cry out and he takes you to certain things in the scripture. And you seek his face and you listen for prophetic words to confirm what he's shown you. And folks, this is really about growing in God. The reason we want to get free from these bad habits and these other things is, who wants Satan in charge of your thoughts?